课堂听 class.com。
全国翻译专业资格水平考试指定教材，英语口译综合能力二级，第五核。
Test 4 Comprehensive Examination for Interpreter 2 Part 1 Listen to the short passages and then decide whether the corresponding statements below are true or false.There are 10 questions in this part of the test. 2 points for each question.
1. As they struggle to find a way for their people to coexist, Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat and Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon are not only dealing with the bitterness of recent violence, but with a lengthy history of conflict.
2.The recent debate over a Medicare drug benefit has publicized the lack of drug coverage among the elderly. However, what is less well known is that although many people with employer-sponsored insurance have drug coverage, they are being asked to assume an increasing proportion of the cost of their prescriptions.
3. Temperatures in the atmosphere usually drop as altitude increases.But in some settings, though it may seem counterintuitive, the reverse can occur. When this atmospheric inversion in temperature takes place in a valley or other location with minimal air circulation, warmer air up above keeps colder air down below, confined near the ground. It also traps pollution, making cities in these areas more susceptible to poor air quality.
4. Several commercially available materials and technologies can be used now to improve today's army truck fleet. For example, high-strength steels could reduce weight while maintaining protection, and aluminum and magnesium alloys could replace steel altogether in some components. Also,Ceramic and metal matrix composites could decrease the weight of braking systems with no sacrifice in performance. These materials and processes are increasingly being used in commercial trucks and trailers, but to a lesser extent in army trucks.
5. The age of the universe can be derived from the observed relationship between the velocities of,and the distances separating the galaxies. The velocities of distant galaxies can be measured very accurately, but the measurement of distances is more uncertain. Over the past few decades, measurements of the Hubble expansion have led to estimated ages for the universe of between 7 billion and 20 billion years, with the most recent and best measurements within the range of 10 billion to 15 billion years.
6. 3 years ago, we, the people of the world, represented by leaders and officials from 189 countries at the Millennium Summit, pledged to pursue an ambitious global poverty-fighting agenda embodied in a set of feasible Millennium Development Goals.To halve extreme poverty and hunger by the year 2015, to make primary education available to all girls and boys, to ensure gender equality, to reduce child and maternal mortality around the world, to stop and reverse the spread of HIV/AIDS, malaria, and tuberculosis, to strive for environmental sustainability,and to work for global cooperation in terms of aid, trade, and debt relief.
7. The Bush administration is divided, as usual, on the post-war reconstruction in Iraq. The State Department wants to mend the crockery. Diplomats apply the term post-war reconstruction to America's broken alliances, not just Iraq. But two groups within the administration oppose them. One group says it is too early for diplomacy. The outcome of the Iraq War will fix automatically most of the difficulties, it claims. Engaging in diplomatic processes for their own sake is foolish. The other group, more brutally, wants revenge. Mr. Bush's White House believes fervently in loyalty, and Messrs. Chirac and Schroeder are regarded as disloyal.
8. During the past 3 decades, we have become increasingly aware that the natural ecosystems on which human life depends are under threat. But we still lack detailed knowledge of the extent of the damage, or its causes. Indeed, in some cases, data on freshwater quality, for example, we now have less information than we did 20 years ago because of short-sighted cuts in environmental monitoring programs.
9. When Ghana beat Australia 2-1 in the opening match in a doubleheader, it meant that China had advanced to the quarterfinals before it even took the field for its match against Russia. China then beat Russia 1-0 to claim a first-place finish in Group D. In Columbus, Ohio, the United States advanced to the quarterfinals after beating North Korea 3-0 to maintain its perfect record in Group A.
10. It's a nightmare scenario that keeps emergency planners and Homeland Security officials awake at night. Terrorists release a virus or toxic chemicals or detonate a radioactive dirty bomb in a major city. One of the first duties of emergency responders will be to determine how a plume of hazardous material may fan out or a virus may spread through a population. Part 2. Listen to the following short passages and then choose one of the answers that best fits the meaning of each passage. There are 10 questions in this part of the test. 2 points for each question. 1. One of two Afghan men on a motorcycle opened fire Sunday on a marked United Nations car, killing a French aid worker, the first international UN staff member slain in post-war Afghanistan. Police identified the captured assailants as Taliban militants.
2. Britain and Canada advised their citizens to defer non-essential travel to Saudi Arabia, while U.S. and French embassies urged their communities against non-essential movement outside housing areas after suspected Al-Qaeda militants on Sunday drove a car rigged with bombs into a residential complex, killing up to 30 people.
3. U.S. Senator Edward M. Kennedy was asked on CBS TV's Face the Nation about his thoughts as the 40th anniversary of President John F. Kennedy's assassination approached on Saturday. Kennedy said he felt a continued deep-seated sense of loss from the deaths of his brothers and other family members. President Kennedy was assassinated in Dallas on November 22, 1963. U.S. Senator Robert F. Kennedy was assassinated in Los Angeles on June 6, 1968. Edward Kennedy's third brother, Joseph P. Kennedy Jr., was killed in World War II.
4. The main parts of a jet engine include a compressor, a combustion chamber, and 2 turbines. The compressor sucks in air, compresses it, and forces it into the combustion chamber. In the combustion chamber, the air mixes with the fuel and is ignited. The burning gases expand rapidly and rush through and spin the turbines. The compressor turbine turns the compressor. The fan turbine turns the fan. After spinning the turbines, the hot gases rush out of the engine and provide additional thrust.
5. The circulatory system is a network that carries blood through the body to provide nutrition, oxygen, and remove waste. It consists primarily of the heart, which pumps blood, and a network of blood vessels, arteries, veins, and capillaries. Arteries carry blood from the heart. Veins carry blood to the heart and capillaries, which are extremely tiny vessels, connected arteries and veins.
6. Soccer star David Beckham and his wife, former Spice Girl Victoria, denied tabloid allegations that their marriage is strained. A spokeswoman for the couple said Saturday that the story, carried by the Sunday Mirror, was rubbish and that a lawyer was looking at the story for possible legal action. The Sunday Mirror reported that Victoria Beckham threatened to walk out on her marriage unless her husband moves back to Britain from Spain, where he plays for Real Madrid. The newspaper said a trial separation had been discussed.
7. China says its current urbanization rate is 32%, which means a total of 350 million people live in cities. The real figure, though, is more likely about 17% if economic and social indicators of the cities are considered. Only 219 million Chinese, or 17.4% of the population, have access to tap water, a basic indicator for urbanization, and only 207 million are registered as non-agricultural population.
8. The U.S. government has decided to refashion its well-known food guide pyramid to help pear-shaped Americans eat less and exercise more. Developed in 1992, the food guide pyramid graphically offers a general outline on how much a healthy person should eat each day from the 5 major food groups. In the graph, fats, oils, and sweets are at the narrow top of the pyramid, with advice to use them sparingly. Dairy and meat products occupy the next tier of the pyramid. Next are vegetables and fruits. At the bottom of the pyramid is the bread, rice, and pasta group, with advice to eat them most.
9. There may well be a conflict between the public's interest in new technologies and efforts by government and employers to restrict coverage of medical insurance in an effort to control costs. With 89 new pharmaceuticals approved by the Food and Drug Administration and almost 4,000 clinical trials for new medicines taking place in 2002, it remains to be seen how many of these new treatments will be fully covered by insurance. In addition, this lack of comprehensive coverage may discourage pharmaceutical companies from developing products that are clinically beneficial but not financially advantageous.
10. Today, people are taking action across countries and communities, from cartoons to graffiti, from t-shirts to puppets, from TV programs to bus tours, from postage stamps to reports, for advocacy and awareness building. They have voiced their views on tailoring, prioritizing, and localizing the Millennium Development Goals. They have influenced macroeconomic and social policies. They are increasingly taking part in monitoring progress and campaigning for progress.
Part 3. Listen to the following longer passages and then choose the best answer to the questions. You may need to scribble a few notes in order to answer the questions satisfactorily. There are 20 questions in this part of the test, 2 points for each question. Passage 1. Globalization, defined as networks of interdependence at worldwide distance, is not new, nor is it just economic. Markets have spread and tied people together, but environmental, military, social, and political interdependence have also increased. If the current political backlash against globalization were to lead to a rash of protectionist policies, it might slow or even reverse the world's economic integration, as has happened at times in the past, even as global warming or the spread of the AIDS virus continued apace. It would be ironic if current protests the positive aspects of globalization while leaving the negative dimensions untouched. Markets have unequal effects, and the inequality they produce can have powerful political consequences. But the cliche that markets always make the rich richer and the poor poorer is simply not true. Globalization, for example, has improved the lot of hundreds of millions of poor people around the world. Poverty can be reduced even when inequality increases. And in some cases, inequality can even decrease. The economic gap between South Korea and industrialized countries, for example, has diminished in part because of global markets. No poor country, meanwhile, has ever become rich by isolating itself from global markets, although North Korea and Myanmar have impoverished themselves by doing so. Economic globalization, in short, may be a necessary, though not sufficient, condition for combating poverty.
Passage 2. Be very wary of opinions that flatter your self-esteem. Both men and women, 9 times out of 10, are firmly convinced of the superior excellence of their own sex. There is abundant evidence on both sides. If you are a man, you can point out that most poets and men of science are male. If you are a woman, you can retort that so are most criminals. The question is inherently insoluble, but self-esteem conceals this from most people. We are all, whatever part of the world we come from, persuaded that our own nation is superior to all others. Seeing that each nation has its characteristic merits and demerits, we adjust our standard of values so as to make out that the merits possessed by our nation are the really important ones, while its demerits are comparatively trivial. Here again, the rational man will admit that the question is one which there is no demonstrably right answer. It is more difficult to deal with the self-esteem of man as man because we cannot argue out the matter with some non-human mind. The only way I know of dealing with this general human conceit is to remind ourselves that man is a brief episode in the life of a small planet in a little corner of the universe, and other parts of the cosmos may contain beings as superior to ourselves as we are to jellyfish.
Passage 3. So far this year, some 2.5 million hectares of North American forest have been consumed by fire, and several fires are still blazing in the west of the continent. The United States Forest Service reckons it will spend around $900 million in 2003 on putting fires out, and the damage such fires have caused probably cost several times that figure. A long drought, high winds, and extraordinarily high temperatures have also created tinderbox conditions in Europe, where fires have destroyed at least 500,000 hectares of forest and killed more than 30 people. Accurate systems for monitoring fires would therefore have enormous value. If such systems could predict how a wildfire was likely to behave, that would be even better. It would enable those in charge to decide which areas should be evacuated and how best to deploy firefighters and their equipment. Such systems, fortunately, are starting to take shape. The ultimate objective is something that can take data from sensors near and far, process them through suitable computer models, and give those in charge of dealing with the fire a running commentary on how they might best go about it. The technology to do that is not all there yet, but it is getting closer.
Passage 4. Millions of people around the world would like to heat their homes and run household appliances with solar power. But the cost of doing so puts it out of the question. The first problem is that the cells convert only 10 to 15% of the radiation from the sun into energy. The second is that the photovoltaic PV material used is a form of silicon that has to be made under high vacuum conditions and heated in special kilns to 1,400 degrees centigrade. That makes photovoltaic solar cells horrendously expensive. How to bring the high costs down to a more manageable amount? One answer that is attracting attention is to use carbon nanorods, super strong cylinders of carbon atoms that are 75,000 times thinner than a human hair. If scientists succeed in their efforts, carbon-based solar cells could cost as little as a tenth of the price of today's silicon-based versions. By placing the flexible nanorods in a polymer solution, researchers found it could produce a composite material that had the elasticity and pliability of plastic, but capable of converting solar rays into electrical energy. Inorganic nanocrystals behave a lot like polymers. For instance, they can be processed while still in the form of a solution. Scientists had been working with plastics as an alternative to conventional solar cells, but found that they did not conduct electricity particularly well. Compared with the arduous process of fabricating conventional solar cells, making the hybrid nanorod polymer composite would be more like manufacturing cheap plastic laminates. That could solve the cost part of the solar energy equation. But what about the conversion efficiency? So far, the conversion efficiency of nanorod polymer cells has been little more than 2%. However, researchers are confident that the efficiency can be improved considerably.
Part 4. Listen to the following speech about the September 11th attack by the American President George Bush. Write a short summary of around 150 to 200 words of what you have heard. This part of the test carries 20 points. Today, our fellow citizens, our way of life, our very freedom came under attack in a series of deliberate and deadly terrorist acts. The victims were in airplanes or in their offices, secretaries, businessmen and women, military and federal workers, moms and dads, friends and neighbors. Thousands of lives were suddenly ended by evil, despicable acts of terror. The pictures of airplanes flying into buildings, fires burning, huge structures collapsing, have filled us with indignation and resolution. These acts of mass murder were intended to frighten our nation into chaos and retreat. But they have failed. Our country is strong. A great people has been moved to defend a great nation. Terrorist attacks can shake the foundations of our biggest buildings, but they cannot touch the foundation of America. These acts shatter steel, but they cannot dent the steel of American resolve. America was targeted for attack because we're the brightest beacon for freedom and opportunity in the world, and no one will keep that light from shining. Today, our nation saw evil, the very worst of human nature, and we responded with the best of America, with the daring of our rescue workers, with the caring for strangers and neighbors who came to give blood and help in any way they could. Immediately following the first attack, I implemented our government's emergency response plan. Our military is powerful and it's prepared. Our emergency teams are working in New York City and Washington, D.C. to help with local rescue efforts. Our first priority is to get help to those who have been injured and to take every precaution to protect our citizens at home and around the world from further attacks. The functions of our government continue without interruption. Federal agencies in Washington, which had to be evacuated today, are reopening for essential personnel tonight and will be open for business tomorrow. Our financial institutions remain strong, and the American economy will be open for business as well. The search is underway for those who are behind these evil acts. I've directed the full resources for our intelligence and law enforcement communities to find those responsible and bring them to justice. We will make no distinction between the terrorists who committed these acts and those who harbor them. I appreciate so very much the members of Congress who have joined me in strongly condemning these attacks. And on behalf of the American people, I thank the many world leaders who have called to offer their condolences and assistance. America and our friends and allies join with all those who want peace and security in the world, and we stand together to win the war against terrorism. Tonight I ask for your prayers for all those who grieve, for the children whose worlds have been shattered, for all whose sense of safety and security has been threatened. And I pray they will be comforted by a power greater than any of us, spoken through the ages in Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. This is a day when all Americans from every walk of life unite in our resolve for justice and peace. America has stood down enemies before, and we will do so this time. None of us will ever forget this day, yet we go forward to defend freedom and all that is good and just in our world. Thank you.